and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking with you. We have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord. And Merry Christmas. Really? Really? That's all you got for me? Oh, last Monday you were all so loud, so let's try that again. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
There it is. There it is. Don't be like the Walmartians who think that Christmas is over and now it's Valentine's Day. You know, the other day, last Wednesday, the morning after the storm, and we were so blessed because this was our biggest crowds for Christmas, and of course we had the groundbreaking on Sunday, and thank you, this Mass, y'all was so kind and so kind to the Archbishop when he was here, but it was a beautiful time, very busy for our church, which is also a blessing, but Wednesday morning, I don't know, I'm sure like many of you, I was just exhausted, and so I came down to celebrate the Mass thinking, if there's one or two people here, I won't be disappointed. And actually, there was a good crowd. And I thought to myself, look at that crowd. You know what? We should sing a Christmas carol to begin the Mass. I thought that would be a nice way to go. And so I just was about to ring the bell to let them know to stand for the daily Mass. And my mind was so fried, I couldn't think of any Christmas carols. The only thing that kept coming to mind was Jingle Bells. And I didn't think that was appropriate. So we went without that morning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. My friends, let me ask you the question, and I'm talking to the parents right now. When was the last time you consecrated your family to the Lord? Was it Christmas? Was it Easter? Or have you ever consecrated your children and yourself to the Lord? What do I mean by that? Well, that's actually an ancient Jewish custom to consecrate oneself in one's family to the Lord. Why? Because back then, as family is so important to us now, it was even more so, if you can imagine, to them back then. It was their complete identity, their family. So, to stop themselves from worshiping their children more than God, they would consecrate. They would consecrate their family every day to the Lord. That's more than just lip service. That means they would offer themselves to God as well as their children in body, mind, and soul. Now today's gospel reading, it picks up as we read from the Gospel of St. Luke right after the Feast of Passover. Jesus now is 12 years old. What does he do? He stays behind. He stays behind in one of the most busy cities of that time, in Jerusalem, unbeknownst to his parents. And you can imagine this causes, what it says, causes his parents great anxiety. But you parents, could you imagine your child missing for 3 hours, much less 3 days? I've got a feeling you would use a different word than anxiety. And just think, when Mary finally finds her son, she asks him, "Why have you done this to us? Why have you done this to us?" And Jesus replies what sounds like a rather flippant remark, doesn't it? He asks, "Why are you looking for me? Why are you looking for me?" But we know that Jesus is no ordinary 12-year-old. For Jesus tells him quite honestly, "I must be in my Father's house." What's the meaning of this? This means Jesus realized while he belongs with his parents, Mary and Joseph, he also belongs first and foremost to God. And so, my friends, do we. We belong to God. For if we want to find purpose and meaning in this life, we must remember we belong to God. We do not belong to ourselves, and we certainly do not belong to this world. We belong to God. But I know it must not be easy for a parent to acknowledge that your child, young or grown, they belong more to God than to you. After all, you may argue, I bore him, I raised him, I paid for his clothes, his food, his housing, his schooling. I even loved him in sickness and health, and even when he was a teenager, he is my child, not yours. But in all honesty, we know it was God who gave us this child. And please, Lord, when his time comes, his or her time comes, we pray that this child will also return to God. Why? Because in our heart of hearts, we know, as St. Paul wrote in Romans, we are the Lord's. I want you to think of the first reading today from Samuel, from the book of Samuel. We have the example of Hannah and Elkanah, who are at this time without children. And back then, if you were married and you did not have children, this caused great shame to you. And so day and night, they prayed for a child. They prayed for a child until finally God blessed them. Hannah conceived and bore a son whom they named Samuel. We can only imagine. We can only imagine after those months or years trying to conceive a child, how happy they must have been at that moment. And no one could or would have blamed them if they chose to hold on to Samuel with all their might. After all, he was their child, not God's. You see, they were the ones who sacrificed, who suffered, and prayed for him. But that wasn't their attitude. Instead, Hannah nursed that child for 3 years, and then she takes him to the temple in Shiloh, and she consecrates the boy. She consecrates the boy to the Lord, who we know grows up to be not only one of the last of the judges, but he also grows up to be the one who anoints King David. King David, whose bloodline Jesus would be born. The truth is, my friends, Hannah is not only one of the most courageous and faithful women in the Bible, she is also one of the most courageous and faithful persons in the Bible. And we would be wise to follow her example of dedicating and consecrating our family and ourselves every single day to the Lord. But today, the common thing is, yes, we pray for our children. That is good. But are we praying for the right things? We pray for their education. We pray for their careers. We pray for their marriages. We pray for their success. We often forget to pray for their faith. We forget to pray for God's plan in their lives and that they may have the courage to follow it. Now, it's no secret that we live in an era where no longer college students, but now high school students are telling their parents, we are no longer going to practice the faith. Of faith, my friends, that they honestly don't know enough about to make such a monumental, not to mention a devastating decision. And instead of helping the children to understand how they belong to God and not to the world and not to themselves, parents often avoid an argument and allow them to walk away from their most direct means of salvation. Now, no offense, my friends, but I really wish this was the attitude of my parents when I told them I no longer wanted to take algebra. But this is the day. This is the day we remember to celebrate the feast of the Holy Family. The Holy Family, not the perfect family. So don't feel bad if your family is not perfect either. But that doesn't mean it cannot be holy. And holiness starts with the parents. It starts with the parents praying for and praying with their children. It starts with the parents bringing their children to Mass every single Sunday and every holy day of obligation, and not just dropping them off at PSR. And it starts with parents keeping the promise. The promise that they made to God and to their child on the day that child was baptized. To not only be the first teachers of the ways of the faith, but more importantly, to be the best teachers in the ways of the faith. The honest question comes to this. Do you want your children to go to heaven or not? Now, that may seem like an overdramatic and even an unfair question, but in reality, it all comes down to that one question. Do you want the best for your children? Do you want them to go to heaven or not? Because trust me, it will not happen by simply wishing for it. Rather, our salvation begins when the children are still under your roof. But it can even start now. Even if your children are grown and, God forbid, no longer practicing the faith. My friends, never underestimate the power of prayer for one's family, especially when we invoke the names of the Holy Family every single day. And it can be as simple as consecrating daily your family and praying, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, I consecrate and I dedicate myself and my children into your care and under your protection. And then receiving the Eucharist for your family as often as possible. But most of all, my friends, like Hannah, I beg you, entrust your children. Entrust your children to God daily. Because while your kids may belong to you for a while, remember, they belong to God for all of eternity. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.